Hello, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Savannah, and I am the producer for the Roxborough House Roundtables at Jefferson East Falls. Each episode is recorded and later posted on our YouTube and SoundCloud for those who are not able to make it to the live event. They are also aired on the first and third Sundays of each month from 8 to 9 a.m. on G-Town Radio 92.5 FM WGGT. For today's roundtable, with our host Sophia, we will explore the complex psychology of QAnon, a far-reaching conspiracy theory alleging a secret cabal of elites and its followers. We will discover the secrets of this cryptic movement by delving into its beginnings, fundamentals, and psychological roots. All right, now I'll hand it over to Sophia.
Hi, guys. My name is Sophia. Maybe you don't know my name exactly. I did just want to start with a disclaimer that I don't mean any harm to any political party. I'm simply looking to educate. If a claim that I make seems too far off and offensive in any way, please feel free to stop me and I'll provide factual evidence. I just wanted to open it up to the floor first. I wanted to just name some common Q terminology and just hear what everybody thought. I won't say what the full statement is, but WWG1, WGA, the Deep State, Adrenochrome, Pizzagate, and 4chan. So those are just some of the most common terms. So I just wanted to hear what everybody thought and predetermined opinions.
I think these three here know a lot. So.
You go.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Pizzagate, we're learning about that in conspiracy theories, and so do I just, like, explain what it...
Yeah, please.
I mean, I think it's, like, it's frustrating and, like, embarrassing that I'm part of the United States to hear that there's people out there that believe in such a conspiracy about Pizzagate and how a small business can be turned into, like, a center for people to attack and to make up all these lies about it.
I honestly came here to watch, so I'm a little to none. I'm here to learn.
Okay.
Just like what I think about it.
Yeah.
I think, like she said, it's like really wild that there are people who are proud to be of a community like that, because it's a community and like they get each other and like they have an understanding or whatever they believe in, and it's just crazy that they don't have any shame. Something that was that links us a lot is that people don't no longer feel shame because they find other people to express their opinions with, and it's just, it can create a lot of damage to people.
I guess I kind of forgot about it because it's one crazy thing and a series of crazy things, but I, with much of QAnon, but Pizzagate in particular, struggle to believe that people actually believe in it and it's not some kind of cynical manipulation on the part of people that benefit, which I know sounds like a conspiracy theory as I'm saying it out loud, but I realized there was a gentleman with a gun that showed up at this pizza shop, so he must have been a true believer, but it just seems like it reminds me of other silly internet things, except it has real life repercussions.
Just following up on that, that's the scariest part, because you say these are crazy, but the person who showed up with a gun at Comet Ping Pong Pizza, which is where supposedly Democrats are housing children in a non-existent basement, it doesn't have a basement, killing them or eating them or making pizza toppings out of them, whatever it may be. But he was a good man. If you look at his background, he was not a crazy man. He was a guy who contributed to his community, and he was very important charities, and he was moved because he thought children were actually being taken advantage of.
Yeah, he claimed that he was a rescuer of these children. Yeah, he strongly believed that he was doing the right thing. And I think that's what the saddest thing is when you think about QAnon, as you were right, I know someone mentioned it, that these people think what they're doing is correct. And that's why I'm kind of delving into the psychology of their thinking today. Do you have anything?
Yeah, I just think, and you see that so prominently with the call of where we go one, we go all, that like we belong to this group and we have no shame in that, we're proud of it, if anything. And they put that on everything, t-shirts, stickers, all that stuff.
Flags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what the WWG1A is, where we go one, we go all. It's a little horrifying that they have a calling card, but it's okay.
So QAnon essentially breaks down into three different things. It's a conspiracy theory. It started as this cabal of these elite Satan-worshipping individuals that were in pedophiles to government, business, and media. The original conspiracy claimed that Q was this high-level government official, and it's also really rooted in a lot of anti-Semitic tropes. They go after George Soros a lot, which is an extremely wealthy Jewish financier. I'll get into kind of the claims against him as well. At post-conspiracy theory, it started shifting into a political movement. The first appearance of QAnon was at a 2018 Trump rally. Trump, Michael Flynn, Lindsey, did you guys, when was the first time, for those who have heard of QAnon, the first time that it really, like, you heard about it? Was it in class? Was it in the news? Was it in the media?
It was definitely in the media after the Capitol attacks, and like after reading more into it, and like talking, like they were talking about like how it is a political movement and like how they organize and met through QAnon. So I feel like it was definitely after like the trials came out on the Capitol attacks that I heard about it.
Yeah, and that was such an important core kind of in the integration of the media was this insurrection. As for the kind of the digital community that QAnon kind of began, it originally started on 4chan, which was the website that I previously mentioned. Eventually, so the first few drops began on 4chan, and then eventually it moved into 8chan. And that's kind of where it starts to get really muddled and really more so politically motivated versus just a conspiracy theory, because it's when people with money started getting involved and people in power started getting involved. Truth Social also, I actually, in doing my research, I made a Truth Social account and I was stalking and I was doing some research, and like, I don't know if you guys have seen like the memes and stuff that they make on there, but it's just not stuff that would be in like the general public. I saw one and it was Joe Biden driving the boat that hit the bridge in Baltimore a couple days ago or last week. And
I thought it was the Jews.
Yeah, I know, it's always different people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just horrifying stuff. Before QAnon, so this like this trope of these anonymous individuals wasn't something that was like new to people. The very first one on 4chan was FBI Anon. They were self-described as this high-level analyst who claimed to know intimate knowledge about the Clinton case. They didn't really go into any details of what Clinton case it was. It was just coined as the Clinton case. There's the HLI Anon, the high-level insider Anon, kind of pushed these conspiracy theories that claimed, one of the biggest ones was that Princess Diana was murdered trying to stop 9/11. She died in 1997, 4 years before the attacks even happened. CIA Anon was another big one, claimed to just be, these two persons claimed to be these really high-ranking CIA officers. And then the last one that was the closest to the creation of Q was the White House Insider Anon, and that offered a preview that something was going to go down in early August of 2017. So on these social media platforms, like 4chan, like they kind of become like a breeding ground for stuff like this, and 4chan was actually coined the missing link between Pizzagate and 4chan. Since like you have all of these people and they're lonely, you're on their computer, whatever, and especially when times were, you know, difficult, we were 1 year into the election, it allowed for these users to kind of participate in these imaginary storylines about what was actually happening in the government rather than what was actually happening. Before QAnon, there was this already kind of present ideology surrounding the beliefs that QAnon eventually picked up. A lot of them had to do with Hillary Clinton running this pedophile ring. Robert Mueller was secretly working with Donald Trump was another big one. But the main three that were really targeted were Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, a lot of like Birthgate stuff regarding his birth certificate, and George Soros. The original idea for the storm, which is what the insurrection was eventually coined as, was actually copied from this other 4chan user before the insurrection even happened. Victory the Light predicted this event in which a mass terrorized arrest of this cabal were going to be forthcoming. Yeah.
Right. Hillary is supposed to be arrested, and I even said when the arrest was going to take place. Of course, it didn't. But one person we can't leave out of this is Alex Jones. Because Alex Jones pushed Pizzagate very strongly. Just the definition of Pizzagate is this pizza parlor in D.C. that was John Podesta, who ran the campaign for Hillary.
Yes.
He liked their pizza. And when they went into Anthony Weiner's computer, because Anthony Weiner, as I tell my class, had a habit of sending out his Anthony Weiner to underage girls. They went into his computer and found John Podesta's emails. Why? Because Anthony Weiner's wife is heavily involved in the Clinton campaign. So what terrible letters did they find? They found letters between Podesta and his brother about what pizza they liked and what toppings they liked.
Yeah.
And somehow this was converted into secret language.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, so some definitions.
And it's just like these. They just kind of like were scraping the bottom of the barrel to kind of come up with stuff. So when John Podesta's emails kind of got leaked in 2016, they did believe that they were speaking in like this secret code with each other, and it was like they're saying it in these emails to try to hide what's going on from the public, and that really Pizzagate began like the base ideology of QAnon. But QAnon doesn't refer to Pizzagate as Pizzagate, just kind of alludes to it. So there's also just like QAnon is kind of picking up on all of these past things that have kind of happened on the internet. So the comment basically was like a ping pong pizza place, very like low-key. It was just like right in Washington, D.C. You're right, it was just centrally around the Clinton family, and it ended in gun violence. Edgar Atticus Madison Welch, who's a 28-year-old from North Carolina, shot three shots from an AR-15, hit the door, the desk, and the walls of the restaurant. And luckily, nobody was injured, but like he truly believed he was a hero. And like 3 days later, someone from Virginia called, I think it was Brera, it was another pizza place up the street, to finish the job that he started. So it just, like, this belief that something was happening, I don't know about it, was the common core of Pizzagate. And I don't know if you guys have seen any kind of like theories like similar to that online that aren't really directly related to QAnon specifically. I know like Alex Jones is like a perfect example of that. I just started watching Alex Jones Versus the Truth, which is the new HBO Max documentary regarding the Sandy Hook shooting. And I think, like, if anything, the theories that he spread are more hate than theories. Because if you look at the victims of these families and you listen to the story of his dad who took up his son asked to take a picture of his Christmas lights in the window the day of, and he said, "I wish I just took a picture of my son." And it's like, these are real people. And I think that's why these conspiracy theories get so muddled, is we just, when you have, and I'll get into kind of antisocial personality traits, so let's think of Alex Adam Lanza, who actually did the Sandy Hook shooting. He kind of had this antisocial personality disorder where you kind of see people as cardboard figures and not really people. So it's like, if I don't see them as people, if I'm going to kill them, it doesn't matter. So that's why he killed 26 people, and 20 of them were under the age of 10 years old.
Yeah. I see QAnon is funny because it's hard to define.
Yeah.
QAnon, I have the analogy as a snowball. At the beginning of the snowball is Pizzagate, this small little snowball. And then it's rolling down the hill, but not of snow, of complete bullshit.
Yeah.
And what it does is it picks up Princess Diana.
Yeah.
It was part of the bigger ball. It picks up Obama's birth of nonsense. It picks up George Soros. And it picks up anti-vax. You name it, it's picking it up. And it's grabbing and grabbing and grabbing until now it's a web. At the core is Pizzagate, but it's a web of hate and nonsense and ridiculousness that how many millions of people now believe in the United States?
In 2022, it was 90,000 people that were in the the biggest, I think, group chat technically, but the biggest message board site. QAnon is kind of like Amazon for conspiracy theories. It appeals to so many different people and so many different groups. So it's like you want a conspiracy theory about Obama, like, it's there. You want a conspiracy theory about Princess Diana, it's there. So it is. So it's just like there's all of these different stories and all of these different theories, but the biggest umbrella term is Q. So getting into who QAnon is, this is something that I think is extremely interesting. Linguistic experts have actually narrowed it down to figure out who it is. It's not an insider, nobody in the military, nobody who has behind-the-scenes government information. The original first Q post was Paul Ferber, who was a South African software engineer with an interest in American politics. He was he coined himself the very first QAnon apostle. So he actually blew the first whistle about Q on both 4chan and 8chan. Linguistic experts linked it that he posted as Q from the first post until like early 2018-ish, and I'll get into who took over after him. But first I want to talk about Jim Watkins. Does anybody know about Jim Watkins?
Yes.
I would love to hear some opinions on that.
Well, he's a very good pornographer.
Yeah, we know that.
He also is a pig farmer.
Yeah.
He's that, and he's pretty much insane.
Yeah.
He has absolutely no inside information.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think that that's...
Yeah.
And let's not forget Code Monkey is
so... Yeah. Did you guys have anything?
I mean, I was just going to say he's just a disgusting, not smart man, and just, I don't know why he thought he had the power of voice to share his thoughts.
Yeah, if you think, though, when I'll get into kind of Code Monkey and everything,
mm-hmm.
Jim is almost a pawn to himself, if that makes sense. Like, he kind of crafted his son to be the way that he is, and at the end of the day, his son kind of is the one that's behind the chessboard the whole entire time. So Jim was a super strong QAnon theorist that kind of pushed all of his Q traffic to 8chan rapidly. Like, they really wanted to try to link if it was for monetary value, but he didn't get any money. There was the shekel, which when Ron was asked, like, I didn't know his son Ron, but when Ron was asked, is it linked to anti-Semitism, he hung up the phone on the New York Times and didn't even give them an answer. So Jim reached out to Frederick Brennan, who was 8chan's original owner, and asked him to move to the Philippines to work with him. So Frederick Brennan had owned 8chan, or had been moderating 8chan at the time for like 3 to 5 years. And he had this trust in Jim because Jim had owned 2Channel, something that he like illegally lifted from the original owner and renamed it 5Channel. But it was basically this alt-right Japanese text board, so it was just on American 4chan. So what ended up happening with 8chan, it was shut down in 2019. The Christchurch shooter, the April Pauli synagogue shooter, and then the August El Paso shooter all posted their manifestos on the website. This looked really bad for 8chan, actually so bad that when it got taken to the Supreme Court and got shut down, they renamed it 8kun to try to kind of like weasel their way out of it. But when the insurrection happened, there was really no return after that, unfortunately. And then when Jim was testifying in front of the Select Committee of the United States House in regards to the January 6th attack, he completely distanced himself from QAnon, blamed it on the right-wing media, and said it was funded by George Soros, who faces all this anti-Semitism. Yeah. Definitely worrisome. So you would think if this guy's a monster that his son would be in the same kind of category as that. Ron was an extremely strong whistleblower of QAnon on 8chan, which he kind of made his father get from Frederick Brennan. I keep mentioning Frederick Brennan, but I just wanted to say the last thing about him. When he called Jim Watkins senile, he has brittle bone disease, he's bound to a wheelchair, he's less than 3 foot tall. He called Jim senile, and Jim actually was so offended by this that he reported him to the Philippines government, and Frederick Brennan had stated multiple times, if I get arrested, I will die in prison, like, because he was disabled, and Jim knew this and still called the police, and basically was signing this guy's death sentence because he knew too much. That's at least what I think.
It was a real breakdown between two criminals, essentially.
Essentially, yeah. You know,
Watkins and Brennan ran this whole Q scam,
yeah.
Which it was, and then there was a fallout between them.
Yeah.
And it got really bad, as it does between terrible people.
And when you think about it, it's, I don't know if you guys have seen the documentary Into the Storm. It's where a lot of this information is sourced from. Colin Holbeck, the director and the moderator of the whole entire show, paints Brennan in so much more of a positive light than Watkins. And I do think, I don't think that Frederick Brennan is completely a great person at all, but I think Jim Watkins kind of, you know, did what he could to take advantage of him. And I think being disabled really plays into how kind of sick and twisted that is more. So Ron was actually linked to linguistic experts that he took over from Q from late 2018 when Ferber kind of gave up. Even watching the documentary, and even doing like extensive research, the switch off was very vague. They don't really know why they switched. Nobody knows why Ron took over. Somebody said that they could have paid Ferber off, so 4chan or 8chan could kind of go off. But it's very vague in the research, because every time you ask them, are you QAnon, they're not going to say yes, because they don't want anybody to know. But in this Into the Storm, the day before the Capitol riots on January 5th, Ron said that he was about to make a claim that was going to shatter institutions. And then he put on Twitter that he was going to drop the mother of all truth bombs. And then the morning before, on the early hours of January 6th, Ron Watkins posted this tweet accusing Mike Pence of orchestrating a coup. And then we all know what happened later that afternoon. So it's very, and I'll get into why it was like so easy to link the QAnon members with the insurrection rather than it being a bipartisan issue. And I'll get into kind of how QAnon has detached itself from the Republican Party and instead idolizes Donald Trump. And that's who is really the biggest culprit of all of this.
Trump is supposed to be the one who breaks up and has broken up hundreds if not thousands of child sex rings.
Yeah.
He's the only one who can do this.
Yeah, and none of his, you know, Michael Flynn and none of them are pedophiles, and you know, they're the ones that are saving these people. So, and that's kind of their claims, is that he, right, that he is this lifesaver.
But Michael Flynn was the head of national security advisor to Trump when he was elected. He was also a Russian spy at the
first
same
22
time.
Days. Yep.
And when it was found out he was a Russian spy, as well as a member of QAnon, he was thrown out. But Michael Flynn remains a key advisor to Trump. Was in the White House advising Trump as to the big lie. It was Michael Flynn, and it's been photographed many times saying where we all go, whatever the nonsense they say.
Yeah.
And as of last week, is advising Donald Trump.
Yeah, so it's just funny it's not funny at all, it's just sad, but when you hear facts like that, that is this concrete information, like they linked Michael Flynn to being a Russian spy, or he would still be in office, like he was only in office working legally as Trump's advisor for 22 days. But these individuals really believe that what they're hearing is true. A lot of these QAnon conspiracists share a lot of the same common traits. I have some numbers I'm going to spit at you guys. About 30% of QAnon members suffer from anxiety. Around 40 to 50% suffer from social isolation. Almost 40% at loneliness as a common trait that they share. 30% are depressed. 20% show narcissistic tendencies. About 25% are manipulative, and then about 30% are low on empathy. So it's kind of two archetypes of people. You have the 25% that are emotionally detached, about 35% that are paranoid, 40% that show the suspicious traits, 20 that are eccentric, and about 10 to 15 that are irresponsible. So thinking of these individuals, you can mix and match these traits, but it's going to be like the quiet, lonely, anxious, depressed individual that underneath all of that is low empathetic, manipulative. And then on the other side of it, you have these eccentric, paranoid, suspicious individuals. And I think when you think of it, you can think like mass shooters, mass murderers in that other group, and then people like the QAnon shaman in this eccentric, high anxiety, worried, and irresponsible. There was a really horrible mental health crisis that kind of sparked these common traits as well. pre-COVID, about 1.5 million more people self-reported anxiety and depression in 2019 than in 2018, and then going into an election like that, kind of, and the pandemic as well. You had a lot of people at the time that QAnon kind of gave on the rise in isolation. There was a lot of anxiety related to COVID, a lot of economic uncertainty, and which really made a bad situation a lot worse. And then self-reported anxiety and depression quadrupled during quarantine and now affects almost as much as 40% of the U.S. population.
40?
Yeah. And that's in 2023. Yeah, so when you think about this uprising mental health crisis and you hear all of these things that are in the news, you're going to want to have answers. And for a lot of people, that's what QAnon was. It was an answer. And like I said, there's this very thin line between disinformation and mental health. If anything, I think we're at the point where, unfortunately, they go hand in hand. So QAnon takes advantage of the vulnerable. Like I said, it really is this Amazon store because it appeals to so many different types of people. There's so many different types of theories. In February of 2022, the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses of Terrorism reported that 2/3 of the QAnon adherents who had been charged with the crime before or after January 6th experienced severe mental health issues, including PTSD, schizophrenia, and bipolar disorder. Once again, these are not limited to anything. But these intensified feelings of like uncertainty and fear and isolation brought out during the coronavirus pandemic may have pushed these people closer. Because from what we know from research, by putting these people in situations where they have little control, where they're feeling anxious and fearful, they're more likely to embrace conspiracy theories to begin with. So I don't know if anybody has any conspiracy theories that they know that people use as like a crutch to kind of make themselves feel more comfortable. Like I even think with Sandy Hook and from watching this Alex Jones documentary, I think people want to say that something like that could never happen because it did. And when I've been doing extensive research on, I found this like very weird interest about how they failed, not really failed because he was dead, deep down this horrible person, the shooter that did the Sandy Hook shooting. They found pedophilic screenplays on his computer. They found like multiple like spreadsheets ranking mass murder from. Actually, he ranks his spreadsheet in order of how many people were killed at each shooting, not the date and not the like name or anything like that. So these people just ignore what's actually going on, which is this mental health crisis, and find these crutches. So I don't know if anybody knows any conspiracy theories that they've known or heard of that kind of make people feel better.
I mean, just to be broad, I feel like any conspiracy that came out of the 9/11 attacks was out of comfort of like our protection of this country, and like, or that it was the government that did it. It was like either this was an inside job and stuff like that. Comes out of the comfort of the fear that that would happen again.
You're absolutely right, Chris. To accept that we were attacked, not by North Korea, not by China, not by Russia, but real armies, and we spend more on military than all the countries in the world combined, which is an amazing thing. So you have the assumption we're safe. So on that day, we were not safe. So you could accept two realities. One, we're not safe, and it's a dangerous world. And that makes it hard to get up in the morning for some people. Or you create new narratives that make you feel safe. And then the narrative is, well, Bush did it. It's like, I always said, the analogy is we have a dome over us, protects us. But Bush turned it off that day. Take Bush out of the equation, or Cheney, take him out of the equation, flip the switch, and I feel safe again. But if you, it's like the Yankees when they were great, being defeated by a public school baseball team. And if we can get beat by them, if we can get beat by 12 underfunded people, and we said they lived in caves, they didn't live in caves, most of them had masters, and they were well funded by the Saudis. But still, they were not an army. So if we're vulnerable to them, then we're not safe at all. So you create new narratives. The other one is, I think, the MMR shot, because the fear your child may have autism, is strong fear among people, and it's all levels, and people function extremely well, but then out of it, out there, it's a disaster, so I don't get shot. So I can control the world a little better, and I can feel safe, even though it's artificial. So yeah, those are two right there. We could go on, but those are two. I'm interested in you guys. And yeah, go ahead.
There's like the theory that the Holocaust did not happen. Like, I feel like that's a big one that I see people talking about. They're like, I've seen, met people, and they're like, the Holocaust didn't happen. I'm like, oh? Like, it's just like, okay. But from what I know, most of my experiences with Brazil, and Brazil's heavily influenced by the United States, let me tell you that. Because as soon as we had the Capitol insurrection, guess what? We had a Capitol insurrection. So I feel like a lot of what happened to the United States, and like conspiracy theory-wise, branches down to other countries as well. In my experience with Brazil, I've seen like the theories that 9/11 was... I've seen theories that 9/11 was caused by Satanists, and like you could see once the plane hit the towers, like Satan came out in the smoke. Did you see that? Like, if that, those kind of things are like, it heavily influenced people. So like in Brazil, like they were like, oh, they stole the elections, the same way here they were like, they stole the elections. But yeah, like I would say definitely like the Holocaust. I've seen and I've met people that are like, oh, that never happened. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I think another one is the birth of conspiracy theories. I feel like it was just a way to bring Obama's like reputation and his credibility down for people who didn't want him in office. I think it was just a way for everybody to like pick and have something to criticize and not like blatantly admit that they didn't want him because he was black.
So
I feel like that's an example.
They felt their status threatened.
Yeah.
So to feel, it's another way of feeling safe. My status can't be threatened because I'm a white person. I have higher status than black people, which has been a trope since slavery in America. And here's this high-achieving black man, you know, so it can't be right. Okay, that destroys my vision of the world where I feel safe in my class. So he has to be, you know, not born here. He has to be the Antichrist, whatever, you know. They came up with.
He was Muslim.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just going to say, Q had a presence overseas, right?
Yeah, that's actually what I just pulled up. Yeah, so I just had two different notes that I wanted to say. So you mentioned contamination. Actually, that's an extremely common fear in QAnon, and it's linked to OCD, and it's linked to just genuine just fear of germ to begin with. I had a note, I did a presentation on QAnon yesterday as well, but this fear of contamination and just like, it's like linked to like touching doorknobs and stuff like that and germs. But the biggest one was vaccines making children autistic, but also making them gay and transgender. And that's one of the biggest, one of the another biggest QAnon vaccination beliefs. And once again, most of the people in this specific study who had said they were afraid of the vaccines making their child gay had OCD. So they linked these two extremely strong correlations with each other. And then I think it was so important to bring up this influence that United States politics have on politics all over the world. There's been so many overseas QAnon movements. Two of the big ones are in Germany and Japan, actually. They've been strong and growing since August of 2020. Also in Russia, there's this group called the Soviet Citizens, and they believe in these synonymous QAnon beliefs as well. And then one of the biggest ones that was in the news was the Canadians and how the specifically QAnon member tried to arrest and like do an assassination attempt on Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, and he did have a loaded weapon. I believe that he's like still like in prison for it because it was an assassination attempt. So when we hear all these things, we can base that these theories, like I said, I think the important word to use is a crutch because it's all very fear-based. 40% of 31 QAnon offenders, this was late 2021 when, as of right now, there's 963 individuals that have been convicted for the insurrection. So this is a very small statistic. But at the time, but actually no, this is a larger statistic, so I'm sure this reflects more, in the insurrection results of this 963 people, but 40% of these 31 QAnon offenders who committed these crimes pre and post insurrection were radicalized after a traumatic event happened to them. This is another really big number. This is from 2022, that 83% of females faced physical and sexual abuse of themselves and their children before they got radicalized and QAnon. I don't know if you guys have heard about Pastel QAnon. So I will actually pull up an example to show you guys. So Pastel QAnon is this very, it's this very targeted kind of manipulation technique that is pitched on specifically women. So this is an example. So it's this like very like influencer-y like Instagram post that's specifically targeted towards women. And when you hear that this number of, that 81% of these women who have been radicalized and have experienced sexual abuse of not only themselves but their children, these Pastel QAnon posters specifically target child sexual abuse and sexual trafficking to kind of get these victims in a corner, target them, make them feel safe. Like I said, a lot of these QAnon offenders do have documented mental health concerns. Once again, staying in kind of the family route, a lot of these individuals surprisingly have Munchausen syndrome by proxy, which, if you think about it, is a disorder that's based off control. And when you see these people that feel out of control in this economic environment, in this political climate, in the world we live in today, they're going to want to be in control, which is what QAnon is, because it's answers. And when you have answers, like even it's like you're nervous for a doctor's appointment, you know, whatever, you have this pain in your back, like your first thought is, I'm going to die. But for believers in QAnon, it's just easy to write it off and say, no, the vaccine I got 2 years ago is going to kill me, and I need to tell everybody else I know not to get it, or they're going to die too. Three of the I focused on kind of specific individuals too. I wanted to open it to the floor after and hear if we had any other stories. So I just said three individuals who were mentally ill and committed crimes from that had ties to QAnon. Liliana Carrillo was a mother. She drowned her 3-year-old, her 2-year-old, and her 6-month-old. She claimed that they would continue to endure a life of sexual abuse and that they've been sexually abused since they were born. Autopsies of all three children showed zero sexual abuse. She was diagnosed with depression, anxiety, PTSD, and postpartum depression. Igor Lanis was another really big story in the news. He shot his wife, his daughter, and his family dog. He believed in the deep state, but also claimed that the January 6th riot was a fake and staged by the Democratic government. Towards the end of his life, he started to exhibit signs of social isolation and depression. His daughter that survived, she wasn't home at the time, claimed that he was once a kind man who spiraled down this rabbit hole and was unfortunately killed by the police. And then Matthew Taylor Coleman was the biggest story that was in the news. I forget what kind of aquatic instructor, it was either scuba or surfing, but he murdered his 2-year-old and his 2-year-old son and his 10-month-old daughter. He said that his wife passed on serpent DNA to both of his children, and as of right now, he actually cannot stand trial due to mental incompetence, and he doesn't believe that he killed either of his kids. So it's we can boil down these beliefs to, and with these statements, I know they're extremely bold. I'm not saying that all mentally ill people believe in QAnon, and I'm not saying that all people that believe in QAnon are mentally ill, but I think a lot of the people that commit the crimes, we're finding that it's synonymous in a mental health issue. But I just wanted to see if anybody had known any kind of QAnon like crime beside the insurrection, or anything to say about the ones that I just stated.
I actually knew somebody who was at January 6th, is an old neighbor of mine. I didn't really like interact with him, but he had Confederate flags on his yard and just like signage long before even Obama was elected. So just his house always had this stuff and always looked real beat up and everything. And he was kind of a shut-in, but then he went to January 6th and they tracked him down. I guess the FBI was interested and he ended up killing himself. But you know, I didn't know that he had any kind of mental illness or anything. It's just that he never I mean, it speaks to what you were describing. He never left his house. He was just like a very angry person. You know, he was like the old man the children were afraid of in the neighborhood. That's like my only connection with him.
It's a shame that it kind of has to go to that length, you know, for people to, because it's like if you're not crying for help but also not doing anything, like unfortunately like stories like that happen where it's just like, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't know anything. Yeah.
It's a real perfect storm using neighborhoods. You have breakdown of organized churches. People don't go to church or synagogues or mosques like they used to. And now it's a community belonging. That's broken down. You have the social media, which brings you, as you said, down the rabbit hole. YouTube, Facebook, they are attuned to your likes and dislikes, and you should see my YouTube account because I do research, and I get, you know, you may like this, you know, it's like, whoa, you know. But one leads to another, it gets worse and worse. So now you're alone, you're disconnected. You have social media bringing you in. You've got major news networks like OAN, Newsmax, and Fox, who deliberately put out falsehoods in order to get ratings. They've admitted it. You know, the lawsuit against the maker of voting machines.
Yeah.
They admitted they lied, but they're still watching. So you have social media bringing you down. You have the major news networks bringing you there. You have loneliness. You had the, listen, we got out of that COVID thing. That was pretty freaking bad. I mean, we're sitting here today, unmasked, to be able to talk to each other. Let's not forget, for 2 years we've been together. I mean, that was major, okay? And you deal with people alone to begin with. So you have that, and then you have somebody like Donald Trump. We watched in class yesterday, and it was really an amazing thing, because there was a group meeting, and they watched when he was on, I don't know what news network he was on, but they listened to him, and as they listened to him, they all applauded, remember, and they were all happy, because they said, look, he's affirming us. So you have somebody in power saying, you're legitimate. And also, we have a society where people are desperate to be recognized when they're not. So suddenly people who had nothing or nothing in their lives suddenly are YouTube bloggers or, you know, in QAnon bloggers and QAnon speakers, and they've got conventions to go to that they never could go to before. Yeah. So you bring all this together and it's this great groove that comes out, and what comes out is QAnon. And I love your analogy about Amazon. I think that's absolutely wonderful. And I think it is bringing it in, and to keep it more powerful, it just takes another conspiracy and another one. And it's just grabbing like a conglomerate, you know, it's grabbing up all the companies.
Drawing for straws, almost, in a sense, like mm-hmm. just scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, what people want.
Yeah.
So this is what's happening, and I feel very, very nervous about it.
Yeah, I just think of all the children specifically that are subjected to this biased education in their own homes. Like, I know the part of the documentary were these three kids, and they weren't going to school because it was COVID, but also they weren't being homeschooled. They were just pulled out of school because their parents didn't believe in COVID. They said it was a man-made disease, and it's just the lack of education that they're receiving, and then you're putting your children through social isolation at that point too, and the cycle's just bound to happen again. So yeah, there's just so many different layers to it. It's a shame. That's so that what you just mentioned, that was a clip in Andrew Callahan's This Place Rules. If you're curious about learning, kind of like, it's not really more so about like QAnon, but QAnon is mentioned like throughout. It's really about the steps that led to the insurrection happening. So Andrew Callahan, he started as All Gas, No Breaks. One of my favorite YouTube videos is when he goes to the QAnon convention, and like you have this one woman in the first 30 seconds of the video saying that she is here at the sacrifice of the relationship with her sister. She doesn't speak to her sister anymore. She said it wasn't important for her to keep a relationship with her sister because her sister called her crazy. And she's so strong in what she believes in these QAnon beliefs that the word crazy is just a word to her.
Yeah, I was also going to say it's so easy to just sit and be like, yeah, all these people are crazy because they believe in these theories or stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's like these people are lonely and they find meaning in this. And it comes down to a question of our society at that point, I think, that these groups can come to this extent and to this extreme level, and that our society just kind of fuels it in that way, that nobody hears these, not direct calls for help, but just that your sister joins QAnon and you call her crazy. I think that's not the right response.
One student in our class yesterday, when we talked about loneliness and what you were saying, came together. She took a little bit of offense to it, and I think she had a good point. She said, a lot of what they're getting together is over hate, of the terrible, of hatred of so many different people, that to say they get together because of loneliness is almost to forget that there is a real dark side to these people. And I think you said, Beatrice, earlier, that shameless, you know, it used to be shameful to believe in some of these things, but now you get together with a bunch of people and you don't feel the shame anymore because you share it. You say, I hate gays, I hate blacks, I hate the people of Latin people, I hate Jews or Muslims, women. Mm-hmm. Women are a big one, let's not forget that.
Yeah.
You know, they want to trad wives, all these things. And it used to be shameful, but now it's like a badge of honor. So I think we can't let them off easy by saying they're poor people or have mental health problems. I think they're also, a lot of these people are not nice people.
Yeah, and that actually is a great segue to my next point of kind of what these followers and like kind of like opioid addicts kind of have in common with one another. So this group, because like I stated, like I'm trying to not say that like everybody in QAnon is mentally ill, and I even would go as far to say like that, and with this research, I feel like I keep mentioning this, like what I've been kind of studying about the Sandy Hook shooter is like sometimes it's wrong to blame mental health on people because it's like I want this to be an answer of why my, like I was reading an article from the guy's father, he's like, I feel kind of wrong writing it off saying, oh, he was just mentally ill, because he could have just been an evil sick person, but he destroyed his hard drive. But from what they have found in this screenplay about being a pedophile and then going and murdering children, you can kind of tie the dots that just could have been a very sad, lonely, evil man. So with this QAnon and kind of this like opioid epidemic, this point that I'm trying to prove is that it targets vulnerable, lonely, isolated individuals, and this prolonged exposure to this content, sitting repeatedly watching these videos after about horrific devastation, and that can have detrimental effects on anyone's mental health. I'm sure if one of us in this room went home every single day this week and watched a bunch of QAnon conspiracy theories, something in the back of our heads would be like, well, maybe, right? Because that's what we're used to. And QAnon really, for a lot of people, is just a quick fix. Like, it's an easy answer. And, you know, these people that believe in QAnon, like, those that are successful to believe it, the five main traits that they all have is this need for control. They want to believe that these powerful enemies are in control of the aspects of our lives just to be in control. Not because there's laws in place, not because we have a government, but simply because they have the upper hand. A lot of it is pattern finding. In this, the clip that Rin had mentioned about in the Andrew Callahan documentary, they go on the Q.pub, which is the board that they moved to once HN had gotten shut down. And one of the things was this like image about a human sacrifice and Anderson Cooper, and sacrifice was spelled wrong. And Andrew Callahan said, oh, is that being spelled wrong on purpose? And he said, yeah, absolutely. Everything that Q does is on purpose and for a reason. So these individuals try to kind of find these patterns to make sense of the world. And then there's three types of bias that play into this. It's an intentionality bias. It's to assume that things happen because someone intended it to. It's this tendency to assume that the magnitude of an event that happens, this is a proportionality bias, that the magnitude of the event matches the magnitude of whatever caused it, and this confirmation bias, which is this tendency to look for evidence of that fits what one already believes, ignoring contrary elements and proof. And that's what really is strong in these QAnon beliefs. Yeah. I just wanted to say, if anybody had anything else they wanted to share about QAnon or any points. I could talk about this for like 4 hours. I could really go on all day.
It's so easy to fall into this too. I mean, you start by maybe doom scrolling and just bedrotting, and you keep scrolling, and the algorithm will tie all the information and keep showing you similar things. So even if you don't have a mental illness, like not everyone in QAnon does, it's so easy fall into that, especially with our social media today.
Yeah. Yeah, and on top of that, with confirmation bias, I mean, we're all that we're exposed to. You're all that you know, that it's only what you see. So when, even when they see these, like, hard facts, if it doesn't align with their narrative, that's not a fact, and that's just what it comes down to.
Thank you guys so much.
Well, thank you all so much for coming in and talking about QAnon and the conspiracy surrounding it. It's so important for us to keep talking about these topics, to change society's normal, and to further inform and educate others about it. Thank you to Sophia for hosting this very interesting roundtable. And again, we post our roundtables on our YouTube and SoundCloud, and we are broadcasted on the first and third Sundays of each month from 8 to 9 a.m. on G-Town Radio 92.5 FM WGGT. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Wait, before we end, a little shout-out for WPHU.
Oh, yeah, WPHU. Shout-out.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, guys.